say that I was asked to dedicate this evening's Dvar Halacha in memory of Sid's grandfather, Tzvi ben Yitzchak HaKohen. Yortzeit is this evening going into tomorrow. We wish his neshama an aliyah, and we wish Sid and the family Chaim Aruchim.
Thank you.
So I also want to note, yesterday we had a litany of Mazel Tovs, which was wonderful to celebrate, one to Sid, of course. And today we had the tragic news that Hai Arbusfeld passed away. I'm sure many of you saw the email. That's Benji's father. The funeral will be tomorrow. Of course, it will be a private funeral. And we just want to send our deepest condolences and warmest wishes and fondest thoughts to Benji and his sisters and his brother and his mother as they go through this incredibly pressing time. And they'll be going through it together but separately. The details for calling him once he starts Shiva are available in the email we sent round. And you can email or call him. But we're not doing any in-person visits at this time. So we'll turn to the Dvar Halacha with both of those in mind. We get to the third halacha of Kuf Yud Gimel in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which leads us from yesterday's, which was about the progressive restrictions about not eating and then needing to burn at a certain time. Mechatzot hayom from midday ve'elach asur ba'asiyat malacha. From midday, it is forbidden to do work, malacha. And of course, this is a complicated question, what malacha is, because in halachic terminology, malacha tends to refer, on Shabbos at least, to 39 discrete acts that have not that much to do with the way one earns a living. In this context, malacha seems to be not the strictly speaking 39 acts of creative labor, but of engaging in toil and exertion and labor and doing one's vocation. That is what seems to be prescribed. And in the notes on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it points out that this is because from midday was when the Korban Pesach could be brought. It couldn't be eaten till the evening, but that's when the sacrificial process would begin. And if one is bringing a Korban, one was barred from doing labor generally. If one was bringing a Shlamim or a Chatat, any time one came to the Bet Mikdash in order to bring a sacrifice, one was barred from doing work. It was a quasi-festive moment. Even if one was bringing a chatat or a confessive sacrifice, to have a connection or contact with God is seen as festive. I'll also point out, in terms of the progression we detailed through searching for chametz and ridding one's house of chametz and nullifying chametz and burning the chametz and then re-nullifying chametz and then progressively limiting our access to chametz, to see that as, again, the search for imperfection and the rooting out of bad character, I think it is noteworthy that in the end, before Pesach comes, when we finish that process, but before we begin anew, before we are reborn, there is a moment in which we just stop, in which we don't exert effort, in which we don't perform labor, in which we confess that we are ultimately in the hands of God, that there is, at the bottom, there is nothing we can do, that there are limits to our capacity. And of course, I don't need to make the connection to how we are at the moment where we are. It is being impressed on all of our minds how limited our capacity is, how much we are at the mercy of God and providence and fate. And I remember when I was engaged and I was going to get married, we did get married, my rabbi guided me through beforehand, spoke me through the ceremony and other things. And he said, you know, one thing I will bear and suggest to you is that in marriage, you should, when you're davening, you should try to daven for a healthy marriage as well. Because at the end of the day, 95% is down to you, is what he said to me. 95% of it is you making space and time for each other and being attentive to each other and saying the right things at the right time and not saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. But 5% is out of your control. There will be circumstances, there will be events, there will be things that come your way that are not in your control. that can affect relationships. And 95% is up to you, but you need to daven that the 5% of what happens in the universe that is beyond our purview should be in our favor. And that's precisely what's echoed here in that last half day on Erev Pesach, that we've spent a month thinking about and planning and cleaning and sweeping and rooting out personal imperfections and the chametz that is strewn around our homes. And then in the last half day, we just sit down and we stop in a gesture of confession that some things are just beyond our control, and that we put ourselves in the hands of God in a confession of humility. So we'll leave that as the halacha for today.